Y'all ready to go? Good morning, everyone. It's March 10th, 2012. Welcome to the Saturday session of the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission. Gorgeous day out there. For those of us from Western Washington, we're appreciating what sunshine there is. So very glad to be here. Let's get going with our agenda. Item number 12, this is a proposed water transfer. This is a decision, and we have Dennis Beach here, our regional director from Region 2, to help guide us through this decision. Welcome.
Morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners. Welcome to Region 2. I don't know if anyone's welcomed you to Region 2 yet, but I want to welcome you. So I'm with Department of Fish and Wildlife, regional director for Region 2. And we went light on the sun because we didn't want to really blind you all from the west
side. Too much is not a good thing for us.
I think I have a partner in this somewhere, if Aaron's around. There he is. So, and this is Aaron Penbose with Trout Unlimited.
Good morning.
Welcome.
They say I only have 15 minutes, but I told them I was going to tell a story. So I've been with the department for like going on 13 years. And you probably know, most of you know, Dan Budd, who would typically be doing this presentation. And Dan's pretty particular about, how those presentations go. And so it was. I was very surprised when a couple weeks ago when I was in Olympia and he pulled me aside and said, Dennis, would you mind doing this presentation? I won't be there. I said, you got to be kidding me. 10 years ago, he wouldn't let me come up here with him. So anyway. But I will try to stick to the script just for...
We're going to be reporting back to Dan.
Yeah, Dan's benefit. So I'm going to be talking about what we call the 9-mile unit of the Scotch Creek Wildlife Area. And it's 5,750 acres that we purchased somewhere around 2010, 2011, right there in the turn of those years. It's up by the Canadian border and just east of Lake Soyuz. It was a family-owned farm, and the family has decided to stop using a portion of the water rights associated with it. So figure this out. And as I said, we've partnered with Trout Unlimited, Department of Fish and Wildlife, as well as the Eater family. So, and what we're doing is taking a portion of the water, actually we're taking all the water out of Nine Mile Creek, which formerly was diverted for irrigation, and moving it to wells. And Nine Mile Creek is it flows into Lake Soyuz, and it has listed steelhead in it. So there's a lot of detail that goes in. It's water rights, so there's a lot of detail that goes into figuring out how much water right you have, and this was Aaron's part, how much water right you have, and whether it's valid or not, and then moving it from, and this particular area is over 300 acres historically irrigated. And it was a combination of diversion from Nine Mile Creek and wells. And so what we did was figured out how much water we could get out of the existing wells, along with improving the efficiency of the irrigation systems on the site, and ended up being able to irrigate 203 acres. And by doing that, by just irrigating out of the wells, we have done some great things for steelhead in particular, and this stream, which was totally diverted. I don't know if I mentioned that, but it's totally diverted and dried up probably come August each year. So we're also, as part of this project, going to replant 100 acres to native vegetation and put in 2.6 miles of riparian fencing. And we'll be adding at least 2.2 CFS to in-stream flow to the stream. I think we'll have some pictures here in a bit, but the this has been farmed. This entire site has been farmed for many years, and no fencing to the riparian area provided. So not only was the creek being dried up, but it was when there was water in it, it was being highly impacted. So this is basically the key points of the agreement. $225,000 provided to EATERS for the water lease for the duration of a life estate. We purchased the property, but as part of that agreement, the EATERS wanted to stay on the farm, and so there's about 500 acres that's in a life estate. And that's one of the complications of this project, is that not only did we have to have an agreement with the EATERS, but we, Department of Fish and Wildlife, also had to be happy with what was going on. And Aaron did a great job of working through those issues and coming up with a solution. And actually is going to continue to work with the EATERS on management plan and irrigation efficiencies. So the diversion is pretty nasty. I should have got a pointer maybe, but an upper left-hand picture shows it was a fairly crude diversion, and I didn't believe it until I went up there, but people kept saying, well, you go up there and there's fish right on the screen. And sure enough, I went up there about last year, I think it was, or 2 years ago. Thank you. And there was two trout flapping around on the screen. This has just been a wonderful project. there's always a story behind the story. And so I'll probably put Penrose on the spot here, but Penrose on the spot. But I worked on this project since 2004, working with the landowner to get the property purchased. And built up a lot of trust in doing that and having him not sell it to developers. It's right on Lake Osoyoos. He sold part of the property to developers. It's extremely, the highest and best use of this property would be for a resort. And, Charlie has such a conservation ethic. He's a hunter and a conservationist, and he couldn't do it. His family forever. He grew up there, and he wanted to see it stay in open space. And so we worked to purchase the property, and like I said, for that 6-7 years to come up with funds and work through the various processes. And when people realized that we were Department of Fish and Wildlife were purchasing the property, I started getting pressure from folks like Trout Unlimited, from within the department, from the Colvilles, the Colville tribe, to stop the diversion of this water. And frankly, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do that to this man who had sacrificed a lot of his life to protect this property. I said, you know, there's a better way to do this, and we're just going to wait. We'll find a way to do it. And I really did have a lot of pressure it's ESA issue to drop the hammer on this guy, and we found a great solution. It's hard to find a win-win these days, and we have one, I believe. So, and there's a picture of the stream. You can see how it has been abused. But we'll, as part of the project, we'll be fencing that riparian area. It's historically a sharptail area where sharptail have been. We purchased the property primarily for ungulate, mule deer, whitetail, winter range. A lot of critters winter in this area. Aaron, did you have anything to add? Any questions?
Okay. Questions, anyone on this action? Okay. Commissioner Mankin?
Yes, it is.
Could you push your button? I'll remind everyone, this is hard to remember.
The how many miles is it to water up?
There's below the diversion, as Dennis mentioned it, when the surface diversion goes in, it virtually takes the entire creek. And below that, there's 3.99 miles of potential habitat for spawning. And then above that, there's another 3 miles below the Canadian, just below the Canadian border, that fish could have access with the removal of the diversion. It's not really clear how many fish will re-inhabit that area, but WDFW and the Colville Tribe have been monitoring the lower stretch below the Eater property for the last decade or so, and every year they find numerous reds, steelhead reds, and actually see adults in the stream spawn. But come April, when he drops that surface diversion, oftentimes below that diversion for about a mile and a half down, the stream reaches dry, and so the fish don't access the upper portions of the creek. And with this, they'll have the opportunity to do that.
Thank you.
Commissioner Caney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just some quick questions on the water and the irrigated land. So is the center pivot is planned to go in? Is that correct?
This spring.
Yeah, and does that is that leased back then to other owners, or who's farming that?
So in total, there's over 300 acres, and we've reduced the irrigated ground to 203, as Dennis mentioned. On that 203, there's one center pivot at this point that covers 60 acres, and we're putting 2 to 3 new pivots on within that 203 acres for a total of about 150 of the 203 will be under center pivot, and the rest will be hand lines, wheel lines.
And then the water, I guess, that goes into trust, that's in a perpetuity. But that water savings from the center pivots, is that an equal amount of savings that is the water that's going into trust?
It'll be on top of the water that's going into trust. And the agreement that we have right now is with Eater, through his life estate, so we're leasing that water through his life estate, and then we're concurrently working with WDFW Real Estate Services to basically concur with what we're doing with Eater and take that into in perpetuity.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of irrigation going on. You talked about center pivots and wheel lines and so forth. I guess I would advise against either hand lines or wheel lines. They're incredibly labor intensive, and unless you have a source of labor for that, it's going to be a pain in the neck. Pivots are a lot less, particularly the modern ones, are a lot less labor intensive and pretty reliable. What's going to be growing under those?
It's alfalfa hay crop.
Okay, that'll be available to deer and elk and particularly another wintering wildlife.
Yeah, that's a paramount of importance to the landowner and also WDFW.
Commissioner, if I could, the portion being irrigated is still under life estate, so it's under control of the Eaters. Just so happens that their desire to manage that property pretty much matches Department of Fish and Wildlife's desire to manage the property. We would probably look at when we actually own and manage that property to up the wildlife value, so probably not take the last cutting of the alfalfa and leave it for wildlife, but that's in the future.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was trying to get to, that growing alfalfa is really good for wintering of all kinds of animals, if it's going to be under private control, I would guess I would ask, would there be damage claims and so forth, or has that been worked out? Because if it's the animals are going to be on it, particularly alfalfa, there's probably going to be significant use, and that would be considered damage to some people.
The eaters have lived with the impact of the wildlife in the area forever, never filed damage complaint.
Very good.
So I don't see that being an issue.
This whole project sounds really positive. Again, the other thing that I wanted to throw out is that, in my experience, fencing riparian areas is okay as long as you keep the fence back significant distance. Oftentimes, it's better to put it on the adjacent ridge or something like that to avoid the maintenance problems. And fencing just the riparian areas out is usually a drastic mistake because of the maintenance and unreliability of the fence with high water and all that sort of stuff. Just a comment. Thank you.
Commissioner Schmitten is next.
Thank you, Chair. This is a good news story, but I'm curious about the relationship, how it was developed. The partners are here. I'm how TU got involved, and is this a prototype that we can use elsewhere? So, our TU partner, how did this happen?
Sure. Commissioner, the relationship you're talking about is between DFW and TU?
Okay.
As I mentioned, I was getting pressured by several folks, TU being one of them, to do something with the diversion. And over the last 2-3 years, probably, and I just kept pushing back, and I think finally Aaron and others started looking for a way to solve the problem. And once we started talking about how to solve that problem, then the partnership came natural. It was just we both had the same goal. I mean, actually, the eaters had the same goals too, really. Everything else fell into place. Of course, you need the funding source to make all this happen, and that became available through BPA. And so all the stars lined up on any project of this cost and complexity. The stars always have to line up for you. And with respect to out of this project, actually we are working on other water conservation projects within the Okanagan. So we have, you might want to talk about.
Dennis and I have a meeting in the Met House 2 weeks from now with his land manager up there to talk about irrigation efficiency projects on all the DFW managed lands up there. We've got a couple projects in Okanagan Valley that we're working on with the land managers there. I don't think this is a new relationship, but this project certainly has kind of bridged the opportunity, and has gone so smoothly that I think we can learn from that. I mean, really, from start to finish, it's been 3-4 years since we started talking, but we didn't start working on this agreement till less than a year ago, and so it kind of all came together in a really great layout, and we hope to continue from those lessons that we've learned in the last year to do other projects.
Commissioner Jennings first, and then the others.
So, Dennis, it's nice to see how you've grown. You're now allowed to be here without a handler. You have worked really well with partners to do a really successful program, and I hope this is an indication that you're going to be here for many years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, Commissioner Perry.
I know that you, Dennis, particularly, and others have been working with Okanagan County to try to lessen their concerns about department purchase of private land in that area. Have they had any concerns about this particular project?
No. So I'll step back to actually purchasing the property, which is always an issue in Okanagan County. And this was a fee title acquisition, It was a fee title acquisition that the county commissioners supported because I think one of the reasons what when we were moving through this acquisition, it was when the economy was better, and there's a lot of Canadian development coming down south, and they were seeing their prime farmland being broken up, and so there was some there's this twinkle of concern from the county commissioners, and so we kind of again the stars lined up, so we kind of hit that. So they supported this acquisition, and we've talked to them about what we're doing with respect to this water transfer, and they're comfortable with that. Their main concern on water in the Okanagan is that what we've been seeing lately is someone coming in, purchasing the property, and then transferring the water out of Okanagan County downstream for development downstream out of Okanagan County. They're very concerned about that. And they understand that our purchases are keeping water in Okanagan County. And through more and more, as we find avenues to make it happen, we're also striving to keep working lands working, yeah. Or bring on bring ag culture to areas that we've purchased in the past but haven't been pursuing ag culture to get those back in production as well. So I think that goes a long way to develop relationship with good relationship with the county as good as we can with Okanagan County.
Thank you.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dennis, I heard you mentioned Steelhead ESA listed fish in the area, and I guess my basic question would be what other fish species might be available along that stretch, and what type of access does the public have for any type of recreational activity to this property?
Yeah, great question. as far as fish species, there's going to be trout. I'm not sure how you distinguish the trout from the steelhead. There's probably some whitefish in there. There's sockeye in Osoyoos. I don't think a fish biologist would say that we might get some sockeye using this stream, but I'm kind of curious. I don't know why it couldn't happen. You know any other fish in there?
There's Chinook up there, but I don't think they utilize Nine Mile Creek. And then there's also, above the diversion, they did some sampling, and they found native cutthroat.
Oh. Is a second follow-up question. Is that an area that people have recreationally fished in the past?
Maybe a kid down in the stream, but, it was dried up. So there wasn't a whole lot of opportunity for fishing. There's just a tremendous amount of opportunity that's going to come. In terms of the public access, yes, there is public access. We call it the Eater Unit, and it's managed as a quality hunt, restrictive access area. So we issue permits for this unit. And we do that in conjunction with the Colville Confederate Tribe, because it's in the north half. And so it's our first experiment with the Colville in joint managing an area, about 6,000 acres, for a quality hunt where both there's a tribal permit draw and a non-tribal permit draw. And frankly, it's working even better than I would have imagined, so.
Commissioner Caney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Chuck Perry asked my question. It was answered very well by Dennis, but I was just concerned, too, that the county commissioners in Okanagan County were in the loop, and I assume they were because you've worked with them on these type of purchases for a long time. Wanted to make sure that the water rights issues was clear with them and that the benefits shown to fish, the in-stream flows, the irrigation efficiency changes, all add up to us to look really good. So I'm glad that those bases have been covered. Just wanted to make sure. So it was answered very well. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Commissioner Duvia?
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion
I would move to approve the proposed transfer of future interest in water rights as presented.
Do I have a second?
Second.
The motion's been made and seconded by Commissioner Perry to approve the proposed transfer of future interest in water rights as presented. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. Motion carries. Thank you. Very good job.
I think this comes with a 5-year commitment from Dennis to monitor this going forward.